Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to see me live, you can do that May 10th, Los Angeles, one night for the Netflix is a Joke Fest at the Bourbon Room in Hollywood. That's right. One opportunity to see me in this festival. Make it happen. I'm going to have a bunch of friends with me. Katie Cazorla, Crystal Marie, Justin Martindale, and a few other of my favorites will share the stage with me that night. Just a fun night with my favorite people and a bunch of comedy for you guys to enjoy. We need to laugh. That's what we're here for. We're here for a little bit of laughter and entertainment. And also, if you guys want to come see me at other shows, I will be in Chicago, Syracuse, Oklahoma, Las Vegas, and a few other cities this year. JessieMae.com/tour for tickets. And you should know a portion of my ticket sales and merch, which will be posted on my website soon, will also go towards the Alzheimer's Association and Hilarity for Charity. So when you support me, a portion of that goes back to those charities. And you guys can feel like you're giving back. By helping me, we're helping the world. And I hope this podcast helps you survive.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
Talk about my dog sometimes.
Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get.
It's raw, uncut, and funny.
It's me.
Gators.
Hey peeps, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to talk today about a little gift I found, a little treasure I found while cleaning out the house. My childhood home that I'm selling has brought up a lot of nostalgia and a lot of items that create nostalgia. I've got a couple journals we're going to read from my childhood journal. Yeah, you better believe it. But before we get to that, we're also going to read from something that I found from my mother. This is a list, tips on staying safe for women. So that's why this episode is titled that. And I went through and I read some of this and it's just ridiculous. It's obviously a little dated because it talks about a cell phone plan being 1995. And we know that cell phone plans are never 1995. It says here there are packages for $19.95 a month that allow you to program only 911 into the dialing out program. What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means. So this is obviously an old list, but some of the tips are timeless. So we're going to get to those things in a little bit. First, I want to talk to you about how to stay humble and how things keep you humble. I got something in the mail that this is older. This is from my birthday, I believe. I got a card and some cookies from Netflix. Really sweet, you know, sweet, sweet, sweet. Netflix sent me a birthday card. It says, "Happy birthday, Jessie Mae. It's your birthday. May this year bring you all the happiness and success you deserve." From Ted Sarandos, Bella Baharia, Larry Tanz, and a whole bunch of people at Netflix. Let's just say that. They sent me a birthday card. It's so sweet. Not once, but twice they misspelled my name. They added an E. And that's an honest mistake, but it's also a humbling mistake that Netflix didn't double check. Should we check to see how to spell her name? No. How many shows does she have with us? Two, three? That doesn't matter. Wait till she gets five or six shows, then we'll start Googling how to spell her name. So this humbled me and I'm keeping it forever. We need friendly reminders like that, no matter where you are in life. Just a little reminder to let you know you're not that fucking special. Not that special. It's okay. I started to use the envelope for notes anyways. So take that, Netflix. But I love you. Let's also do another show soon. And if you guys are like, what? You have Netflix shows? It's amazing how much information is lost and how much seeps through because there's an overload for you guys, a content overload. You can see everything and hear everything on the interwebs that you miss a lot of stuff. So yes, I have two shows on Netflix. One is Tattoo Redo and the other is Surviving Paradise. So check it out. That's why Netflix sends me gifts once in a while with my name misspelled. To keep your girl humble. Humble AF. That's me. I had a lot of funny stuff happen. Something really hilarious happened at my mom's house. I told you guys about that a couple weeks ago and I think I never showed you. I will show you this week what happened and tell you what happened. But first, I want to talk about a couple absolutely nots. We talked about absolutely not last week. Things that you just go absolutely not. Recently, and I don't know why this is a thing, people are looking at fruit under microscopes. Why? Why are we doing this? It's so gross. It's so unnecessary. I don't need to see what's on a freaking strawberry. Why are you doing this to me? There's no reason to know what bugs crawl on the skin of a strawberry. Guess what? Bugs are everywhere. And you know why they can exist everywhere? Because we don't see them. Now I know that there's a whole slew of these nasty bugs on fruit under a microscope. And I have a hard time now. I have a hard time looking at these things. It turns out the strawberry colonizer is actually a spotted wing Drosophila, a very tiny invasive fruit fly that likes to lay its eggs under the skin of the strawberry and berries. Ignorance truly is bliss. If we knew every single critter that crawled on every single surface, I think a lot of us would start to have phobias, weird adversities, weird reactions. We'd start to have obsessions. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but now I'm freaked out. Now I use that thing that Elon Musk used to shoot his car to clean my strawberries, whatever they call that thing, a blowtorch. Now I power wash my strawberries. You know how people power wash the side of their house? That's what I'm doing my fruit now. Because you people won't stop looking at it under a freaking microscope. Did you fail biology and you're trying to refresh your brain? No need. No need. I don't need to see it. These little bugs become larvae and crawl out of the skin like a creepy crawly pinata. Absolutely not. No way. No way, Jose. Why do we need to know that? Didn't something happen to the cat with its curiosity? Remember that? Remember that curious cat? What happened to him? What happened to the cat that was a little too curious? He died. I think he died. Curiosity killed the cat because he didn't need to know that there were bugs in the strawberries. We're living just fine without some information. I think that's what's going on. We have too much information right now. That 24-hour news cycle keeps pumping out fresh stuff every day, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, and it creates mass hysteria. It creates unnecessary stress, especially as a woman. That's why I was like, let me talk about it today. There's a lot going on in the world all the time. And plus, history repeats itself, and that's no different for the crazy news cycle. Rinse and repeat all day long. I need a break. No more fruit under microscopes. No more crazy news. There's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if you guys have heard about stuff happening in New York with men punching women or a man running around town punching women. And also in Venice, there was some crazy stuff that happened. But before we get to that, I want to complain about a woman who brought a dog bed out to the restaurant. An entire dog bed. Now, first, let me tell you guys know I own three dogs. I love my dogs. My dogs are my family. I've always had dogs ever since I can remember. I don't bring my dogs everywhere. You know, it's not necessary. I think it's kind of rude. You know, if there's a restaurant where it's just for dogs, okay, that's fine. They got cat cafes for people who are going to die alone. Enjoy yourselves. But at the regular grocery stores, at regular restaurants, the gym, we don't need it. It's not necessary. Your corgi's not your emotional support. Even though all my dogs are my emotional supports, I don't bring them everywhere. Carlin will go on errands with me, but he stays in the car. He stays in the car and he's happy there. I'll run into the bank. I'll run into UPS. I'll go to Little Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf because sometimes they've got discounts on their app, even though they're kind of cheap lately. I wish they would step up their game. Yeah, I'll go to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. And he'll stay in the car and wait for me because he knows I'm coming back. I went out to eat one of my favorite places with my beau. Just a place we look forward to. A place that we just like to go to. We talk about everything. We argue sometimes. I eat a whole basket of chips and salsa like a lady. And I look over and we wanted to sit outside and we couldn't because there was a lady with the dog in the dog bed. A whole fold out dog bed, not just a dog bed, but also a dog bowl. This dog had like a one bedroom apartment set up in the area where people eat. And I think it's unnecessary. Absolutely not. Unless your dog is sniffing dysentery, scurvy, or if it's a herpes sniffing dog, whatever type of ailment this dog is sniffing out, unless it does that, it does not need to be out with you at the restaurant. And if you're having that many issues, maybe it'd probably be better if you stay around your house and inside your house with your animals. Because bringing a whole ass dog bed and laying it out on the patio like it's your place is rude. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a special place for these people. And maybe it's just LA. Maybe it's just LA because this place breeds narcissism and egomaniacal behavior. I can't go to dinner without my dog. And if I have to bring my dog, well, my dog needs to be comfortable. I'm sorry. Why does your dog need to be that cozy at dinner? Why is your dog more comfortable than me at dinner? I kicked the dog out and laid in its bed and ate my chips and salsa. Yes, I did. Then I snuggled it. And then I looked the lady in the face and I said, absolutely not. Unacceptable. Rude. Selfish. Just insane. I can't even express how wild it is that this woman had a whole dog bed. And look, I wish I could bring my dogs with me everywhere. I really do sometimes. And I bring, like I said, Carlin will come out with me to run errands. Sometimes I'll bring, you know, I have three dogs, so they all need to get a little special attention. But never have I ever thought, hey, let me bring a dog bed and set up shop. Is this an adoption patio? Pissed me off. I just stood and stared at them while they ate their enchiladas. Well, happiness is having secrets. If you don't believe me, just ask Snoopy. This is my diary from when I was a little girl. When I was home, we had to clean out a lot more stuff. I went home a second time and there still was a whole dumpster full of stuff. And you never know how much stuff you're going to have. There's going to be so many items you can't even imagine. We've talked about it a little bit. But one thing I do want to add to the whole cleaning the house out episode, if you have time to go through every single item, do it. If you have time to really clean that house out, take the time. Because you might find some really amazing things. And you also might find collections. My sister and I, like I said before, we found savings bonds, which I went in cash today. You better believe that $50 turned into $100. Hello. Buying around for everybody. Only from Costco, though. We're not going crazy because it's only $100. But there are so many things that you could miss. So take the time if you can. And I highly recommend if you can sell stuff, put it on Letgo, put it on Facebook Marketplace. My mother had Precious Moments collections. I don't know if you guys know what Precious Moments are, but they're these little scary, sad dolls from the 80s. And whoever made them made people think that if they bought them, that one day they were going to be worth a lot of money. Well, they are worth a lot of money if you had as many as Nancy had, because she had about 200 pieces. So if we sold each one of those, we'd have about $200. But something is worth something to somebody, right? It's only worth as much as somebody is willing to pay. So I say that because if you're cleaning out a house or if you have to clean out a storage unit, go through it if you have the time. Not only is it stressful, but that stress will make you laugh and that stress will bring the truth and honesty out in you, and you'll swear to yourself and you'll look at these items that you're going through and you might remember something that you had tucked away in your brain, in your body, in your being, was just waiting for you to grab the one thing, that memento that could kick off the dust on that memory and bring it to the forefront of your brain. There's something really valuable to taking time and cleaning out a home. And I wanted to say that because I think about the time that we spent and I wish I had more time. I wish I had more time to put together all of the scissors my mom had. I told you she had a bunch of scissors. I'm going to talk about her low-level hoarding in a minute, but she had scissors in every room. We talked about just scissors everywhere. I can't believe how many scissors this woman had. She had paper clip collections and just all sorts of weird collections. You never know what somebody's going to want. She had a sewing station and she had a gift station we talked about before. So there's a lot of things that you don't think are valuable, but they could be valuable to somebody else. So if you do have the time, post pictures and see what somebody's willing to pay for them. There's also like local church organizations that will come and take the items that if you don't want to sell, they'll just take them. Or if you're done selling everything and you're exhausted, they'll take the items off your hands and you feel like you're donating. And there's also, you know, people who want Precious Moments collections. Turns out somebody wanted my mom's. Not quite the dollar I was hoping for, but somebody took it. Somebody took the freaking items, and I'm happy for it. I'm happy that somebody's going to enjoy my mom's collection of Precious Moments. She had more Precious Moments in her menagerie than she had with her children. And that's not a jab at my mom. There were literally so many Precious Moments. Everyone could have gotten one. You get a Precious Moments and you get a Precious Moments. Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. They're so sad and creepy. They're creepy is what I would call them. I am enjoying a Spindrift. They do not sponsor the podcast, but I wish they would because I would drink one of these every day if I could. And this is unsolicited promo here. Spindrift sparkling water, and it's got a little flavor to it. If you're someone who needs a little bit of flavor in your water because water's gross because it's filled with chemicals, try a Spindrift. It's just crunchy water that is delightful, and I love it so much. I'm going to keep the sip sound. I'm not going to edit it out. So cleaning my mom's house out for a second time just made me realize, hey, maybe I should tell my listeners that they should take their time if they can. Sell stuff, donate things, go through every single piece of paper. And anybody out there listening who's a parent or an older person who has a house, clean through your shit. Clean through every single piece of paper, because I know you're waking up, you're doing your crosswords, you're eating your oatmeal, and then you're putting on the news all day long. Don't act like you don't have time. And I realize time is wasting and time is of the essence. Well, you know what? You would save your loved ones some time and stress if you could just go through some sheets of paper. What are all the envelopes for? Why are there recipes with weird? Is this like some sort of code to a safe? What is this 9-digit code on the back of this finished crossword puzzle? So there's a lot of mysteries. So just solve some of the mysteries for us before you die, because it would make it a lot easier. Clean your shit. Go through the paperwork. Go through your desk drawers a little bit every day. And that's what my mom and I did while she was alive. We went through a little bit every time I was home, and I'd force her because I knew I was going to be the one. And there still was so much stuff. Fuck. There was so much stuff. I found this thing called the foot ghost, which I need to make that into merch. It was like obviously an outline of my foot turned into a ghost. You know, my mom kept every single piece of quote unquote artwork we ever made. I don't know if she's a good mother or a hoarder or both. She definitely was a low level hoarder. She kept our artwork from the 80s, like every little thing. There were boxes of it, and it was so sweet, but to throw it out felt wrong. I really regret throwing out the foot ghost. I have a photo of it. It's not the same. It's just not the same. It's just not the same. I want the foot ghost here. I should have framed it. I did send a photo because I thought it was ridiculous. I want to read through my diary a little bit, and I want to get to this list. But my mom, it was unbelievable the amount of shit she had. She had literal collections of paper clips. I don't know how much secretary work this woman thought she was going to be doing. So many paper clips, and she had scissors everywhere. She had scissors everywhere. It was like, what are we doing? Why is there so much stationery? Is there a murder that's going to happen? And you need to set up like one of those crime scenes in the basement with all of the supplies. She had scissors in every room of the house. Scissors in the kitchen. There were three drawers in the kitchen that had scissors. There were scissors for meat, scissors for paper, scissors for just scissoring. Not like that, but like actually scissoring. But scissors in the bathroom. She had eyebrow scissors, and then she had nail scissors and whisker scissors. She had so many scissors and so many paper clips. I'm like, what in the murder she wrote is going on in this house, Nancy? What, did you rob a Staples? I was worried that when we were cleaning the stuff out that someone from Staples was going to come and arrest us for all of the stolen goods that Nancy had hoarded up in her sewing station. Not to mention the sewing scissors, which are really scary. My mother's sewing scissors are like pure metal, heavy metal, not like the music, but like the scissor. Solid steel. I think they were made out of stainless steel, 100% through and through. You toss these puppies at somebody, they're not surviving. Doesn't matter. You can't dodge a scissor. It's like a heat-seeking missile. She had so many collections. It was unbelievable. And it made me think about the stuff that we keep and what it means to us. We keep so much shit. And I realized in the process of letting go of all my mom's stuff, the resistance of letting go was me trying to hold on to her. And so while I'm trying to hang on to stuff, I'm really trying to hang on to my mom and my dad and memories from that time. So that's why I encourage you even more to let go of it, sell it, give it away, donate it. Treat that like your good deed. You're giving stuff away. And like my aunt said, the loved one can live on through somebody else's house, through somebody else's life. And you can know that pieces of them are in somebody else's home. There are ways to let go and to learn to have peace with it. So that's all I wanted to say about that. Let's get into my diary. Okay. And then I'm going to read a couple diary entries here. They're just ridiculous. A couple of them made me laugh out loud. This is from the year. Oh God, what year is this? It's got to be like 93. Let me see. It says Tuesday, December 25th, 27th. Oh, we're going into a new year here. Okay, let's see. Tuesday, December 31st. Full House was on and Home Improvement was on tonight. They're on every Tuesday night. So apparently my journal entries are just the TV Guide schedule. Wednesday, January 1st. I don't know what year this is. Let me see if I can cheat ahead and see if I wrote the year at all. I didn't. There's only a few entries here. No date, no year. Oh, God. So there's no year here. It's got to be about 93. On the back, not the front, not the first page, on the last page, I wrote, let's see, on the first page, it says this diary belongs to Jesse Peluso. On the back page, I wrote, I can write anything in here. H-E-A-R. Okay. I may have been gifted, but I couldn't spell for shit. I can write anything in here. Poems, secrets, stories, loved ones. Yikes. Between the spelling and the grammatical errors, somebody should have sent me home on a different bus, even though I was school bus to a gifted school. Okay, let's see some other entries here. Okay, this one made me laugh so hard. Okay, first of all, I haven't read this one before. Wednesday, February 27th. This isn't the one that made me laugh so hard, but this is funny. Kyle loves me, but I don't love him. What do I do? He's okay for a friend, but not a boyfriend. Yuck, yuck. See, even then, I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. Okay, this one's funny. This is Thursday. Is it Tuesday or Thursday? It must be Thursday because the next day is Friday. So I still am struggling with letters and words. Today was a hectic day. I was like 7. I had to write, I will listen to directions. I hated it. It was embarrassing. I think I meant embarrassing, but we're going to let that slide. I wish my teacher wouldn't make me write. I wish my teacher made me write more, to be honest. Oh, and there's this boy who likes me and he's ugly. So ugly. I could barf all over him. You would too. I hope tomorrow is a better day. Truly yours, Jesse Peluso. Who did I think was I writing to? Who did I think was reading this? Truly yours? I mean, meaning mine, which is kind of cute. Should we go on to Friday? Let's read Friday. These are so funny. This is Friday, the next day. So yesterday was a big day for me. It was stressful. So hopefully Friday was a little less stressful for my 8-year-old self. Friday is my favorite day because it is the last day of the week. Groundbreaking. Put this one on the desk at CNN. It was also boring because all we did was work, work, work. I hate work. Well, you learn by working and also learn by making mistakes. I'm good at making mistakes. I mean, it's kind of funny, no? It's kind of comical. Oh, God. Okay, let's see. There was one that made me laugh so, so hard. I don't know if it was in this journal. I feel like it might have been in another journal. I read you the Full House one. That was a little TV guide. This says, we didn't do anything special for New Year's anyway. I went to the mall. Carousel Center. It's supposed to be Carousel Center. I still am struggling to write and to spell. So the rest of this is completely, I didn't finish it. I started this journal and then I ended it. Let's read the first entry here. Just Tuesday, December 25th. This is the first time I ever wrote in this journal. And there's a couple other entries in here. So these are so funny. I love that today was a hectic day. Okay. First entry. I went to my grandma's house. I stayed there for 2 days, T-O. I know what I meant. And one night. I was kind of boring. I missed home a lot. I wish it had snow so I could go sledding. Bye-bye now, Jessica. Ouch. What a shot at grandma. Grandma's house is boring? No way. I remember my grandma and she was the best. She had the softest hands. She made, I don't remember any food she made, but she just made you feel safe and loved like a grandma should. Okay, now this is another journal. This is my private journal. And there were a couple entries in this one that made me laugh my absolute ass off. Oh my God. Okay, there's too much to read. I was in love with somebody called Chad. And I don't even remember Chad. This one has a lot of prompts. How to use your private journal. This journal is especially for you. Write in whatever you like, whenever you like. There are no pre-printed days, so you can fill your own whenever the mood strikes. You'll discover special pages in the beginning to fill in about yourself, and near the end are scrapbook and sketch pages to save mementos, letters, and cards. Okay, so let's see. My full name is Jessica May Peluso. My nickname is Jess and Puts and Jelly Beans. I don't remember anyone calling me Jelly Beans, I have to be honest. I say my horoscope is Virgo, V-E-R-G-O. We almost got there. My best friend in the world is Lori. I don't remember Lori. And Amy. I do remember Amy. Other good friends are Rashida, Louie, Misha, Joanna, Adrian, Candace, and my SBS friends. So apparently I was in a gang when I was younger. And I didn't know this. But I was in a gang called the SBS. SBS. And if any of my young friends remember this and remember what it stands for. I want to say it stands for something like silly bitch squad or, but I can't imagine I would say bitch at that age. I just can't imagine it like silly babe squad. I don't know, but it says I'm an SBS, and here's the members of SBS: Latora, Kanisha, Jesse, Candace, Adrian, Rashida, Kim. We are all of the SBS. Like it was an association. Like move over, AARP. Here comes the SBS. We're coming for you. Nobody else knows this, but I'm an SBS. It's a group of my friends. We hang out at school, and sometimes on Friday, we go roller skating at Dance and Skate from 7 to 10. There are a lot of people in our group, and we call ourselves a little gang of one. That's the girls. And we are fighting more than one girl. We just can't sit there. We're going to automatically help fight. That's an SBS. We can't tell you what it means, though. So I don't know if we didn't know what it meant or if we did and we just didn't want to tell you. We might have not even had a meaning. It was just a few letters we threw together. I probably named the group and totally didn't even think of what it should or did mean. Here's another journal entry. This kid, Chris, likes me. He's Sword, S-O-R-D, of cute. He likes me a lot. He is real sweet. I like him. Wow, that changed quickly. That was a whole relationship. That was like 3 years in one sentence. Okay, here's a poem called Diamante. Wow, now I'm bilingual. What does Diamante mean? This is a poem about shoes. So I don't know what Diamante means. I have no idea. I can't imagine my sweet, special little brain what I meant by that. But here's a poem about shoes. Shoes, color, pretty, walking, running, jumping, lace, plain, exciting, doll, shrinking, ripped, teared. I think I meant teared. Wide, long shoes. Oh, get the snaps going. Move over, Edgar Allan Poe. Because Jessie May Peluso is coming in and sweeping the poems right from underneath your feet. I'm sorry. Did you hear when I said doll, shrinking, ripped, teared, wide, long shoes? Someone give me an award. Let's see what else we got going here. February 10th, 1993. We have a year. Thank God the week is almost over. Oh, God, I'm so dramatic. Today was pretty boring. We had so much work. I hated work. Schoolwork always felt so tedious to me. It wasn't fun. I really missed like a lot of hands-on stuff. Uh-oh. A couple weeks later, March 1st, 1993, Chris dumped me. He said I got on his nerves. What about my nerves? Personally, I think he's rude. Real rude. The next day. Today was great. We got a new student. We went outside. I got all of my work done. And Friday's a half day. I'm going crazy. See, I was fine. I got over Chad. What was his name? Was it Chad or Chris? I got over Chris in a day. I moved on. I buried myself in work. I jumped back into work. I hung out with a new student. I went for a walk outside. Oh, God. I have to read this next entry. This is months later in November. A lot has happened. I have a boyfriend named Jeff. He's real nice. He's sort of cute. Not really. I gave him a hug Friday, and it felt good to finally hug him. This is November 28th. Okay. 2 days later, I hate Jeff and I hate Chris, but I love Chad. He's my new boyfriend. We've been going out 2 to 3 months. Was I double timing? Oh, no, this was a few months later. Okay. I thought I was double timing Jeff. Like, what a little hussy. This is so funny. It's just so funny to go back. And I'm glad that my mom didn't throw this stuff out. Even though there's only a couple journal entries, it still was really hilarious to read and made me smile knowing what I was like as a kid. You know, as an adult, you don't really get to see that unless there's videos or you have journal entries or some sort of way to look back on who you were when you were that age. It's almost like looking back on a stranger, and it's like meeting yourself for the first time at a different point in your life, and you can gain some real perspective, which my perspective is I still can't spell. God, I probably should have worked a little bit harder. I worked hard. I just, the things that I focused on and the things I was good at wasn't traditional schooling, and it wasn't math, and it wasn't the way that the institution taught children. I thrived in a much more hands-on, creative, and fluid environment. And that's why I went to two schools, because I struggled sitting in a desk. I didn't learn that way. So a lot is going on here in the world. And, you know, I like to keep this podcast light and fun. It's a break from everything. First and foremost, I did check back on that bullshit check that I got from Lights Out with David Spade, and the exchange rate in Canada is in fact $1.38 in Canada. So I will be moving to Canada so I can cash that check. Just a quick little follow up. But things are happening in Venice. There was an active shooter who terrorized a neighborhood. Okay. A suspect was taken into custody after firing 50 rounds with about 2 combat style rifles and a handgun in an incident at least one resident described as terrifying. Now, I heard this going on. This was last weekend. There was a helicopter literally above my place. I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night because everything that's going on. This was also after these women had been hit in Venice. I don't know if anyone heard about that news story, but the SWAT team showed up and had to handle this active shooter, Marina Del Rey. And apparently he's in custody and now everybody's safe. But the shooter was allegedly armed with 2 AR-15 style rifles and a pistol and repeatedly reloaded while sheriff's SWAT teams tried to de-escalate the situation, according to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. When the deputies arrived, they heard active gunfire at the location, observed a male suspect on the roof just firing rounds off from a rifle. You know, this is right around the block for me. This is my old neighborhood. This is happening. And then where I live now, there was a man who just a couple weeks ago was going around and had punched a couple women in the back of their head in the Venice canals. Transient arrested for attacking 2 women along the Venice canals. Authorities have arrested a suspect accused of beating and sexually assaulting 2 women along the famed Venice canals in separate attacks last weekend. Los Angeles Police Department announced on Friday. Anthony Jones was apprehended. According to the police, he's a black male, 6'1" tall, 200 pounds, and a transient. He was booked at the Metropolitan Detention Center on 2 counts of attempted murder with bail set at $3.25 million. I can't imagine. It's a big bail. And that's the way it should be. We just catch and release people in this town, and everyone's losing their mind. So that's why I wanted to read this little tips on staying safe for women, because on the heels of these 2 crazy events happening, as a woman, you just have to, you have to stay safe. So I wondered if the safety tips from yesteryear still held up to today. We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you a word from our sponsors, Lumi. Making me smell so good. Look, if you ask me, nothing stinks more than certain body parts. Those body parts that are just kept in the dark just have a funk about them. Nothing annoys me more than when I'm standing next to a stranger and I know what they had for breakfast last week. Wash up. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour control everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about their private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. That's right, an OBGYN invented this, so you know it's good. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deodorant now has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who loves feeling, smelling, and being confident. That's right, you can smell confident, you can be confident, and your whole body can be confident because you don't smell like pasta. Even though pasta's delicious, but pasta and body odor, it's not so delicious. We have a special offer for you guys. Our new customers are going to get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SHARP. I think it's SHARP. Is it SHARP? Yes, S-H-R-P. New customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code SHARP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates over to 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi.com and use code SHARP. Let Lumi make you smell fresh. I just wondered if what we were taught to do back then is still something we can do now. So I'm going to read this little thing to you that my mom had folded. She must have mailed it to me. Read and pay attention. Take notes even. So this is tips on staying safe. I don't know where this came from. There's no indication. There's no like letterhead. There's no name. It's just a couple pieces of paper, and it seems to have come from some person who teaches self-defense. I learned the elbow is the strongest point in your body. If you're close enough to use it, do it. If you're ever thrown into a trunk of a car, kick the back tail lights out, stick your arm out the hole, and start waving like crazy. The drivers won't see you, but everybody else will. This has saved lives. I've never heard of this saving anyone's life. I'm sure it has. I've never heard of it. And that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Like I said, I'm sure it has, but this isn't something where I think if you're in that scenario, are you going to be thinking that? If you're in a trunk, I'm going to be like, damn, I'm in a trunk. I'm going to be thinking about all the choices I made that led me up to being stuffed in a trunk. I'm going to find some way to make it my fault. And also, I have to be honest, if I'm driving and the car in front of me has an arm waving out of the taillight, I'm going to be a little freaked out and probably pass the car and get off at the next exit. I'm not necessarily going to be like, oh, I'm going to help that lady. I'm going to be like, oh my God, there's a demon coming out of that trunk. Somebody call. Yeah, I guess maybe I would call the police, but please call the police if there's someone waving at you from a taillight. Let's first start there. Hey, if a taillight's waving at you, call the cops. Forget everything else. Then it goes on to say, I recently attended a personal safety workshop and it jolted me. It was given by an amazing man, Pat Malone, who had been a bodyguard for famous figures like Farrah Fawcett and Sylvester Stallone. So this is obviously a little bit old because Farrah Fawcett is dead and Sylvester Stallone is basically turning into stone. I don't know what's happening to him, but it's getting harder and harder to understand him. He works for the FBI and teaches police officers and Navy SEALs hand-to-hand combat. This man has seen it all and knows a lot. He focuses teachings to us on how to avoid being the victim of a violent crime. Here are some of the most important points I got out of his presentation. So this was some sort of presentation from Pat Malone. I would love to get Pat on the fucking phone. I got to look up and see if I can find this guy, Pat Malone. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, we got to see if we can get this guy on the podcast. That would be amazing. Hopefully he's still alive. So here are the best ways to avoid being a victim of a violent crime. Three reasons why women are easy targets for random acts of violence. Rude. One, lack of awareness. You must know where you are and what's going on around you. I agree. The times where I have been close to being attacked, I've been mugged, close to being raped, got a handful of things and situations throughout my life where I was nearly the victim of a really violent crime, and it was because I was not paying attention. I was on my phone, I was looking in my bag, I was reading something. And unfortunately, we live in a world where you got to keep your head on a swivel. Check your six, bitch. You got to keep your head on a swivel. You have to know where you are, especially in a big city. You can't live like, oh, love is love and flowers bloom and everybody wants the best for me. No, some people literally want the worst for you. And that's the reality. Two, body language. Keep your head up, swing your arms, and stand straight up. Swing your arms sounds a little silly. I don't know if you need to swing your arms, but I definitely believe in body language. My whole joke is based off of whatever this amazing workshop was. My whole joke that I do at the end of my set is about this, and it's how to walk into a situation where otherwise might be a dangerous situation and how to walk through it and not become a victim of a crime. But your body language is everything. Think about when you're sad, you're slumped over, and you know when someone's sad. You can tell by their body language, the same way that predators know when somebody's vulnerable by their body language. So quit walking around like you're vulnerable. Okay? And these are three reasons why women are easy targets. So lack of awareness, body language. Number three, wrong place, wrong time. Don't walk alone at night in an alley, drive in a bad neighborhood at night. That's the other thing. There's a lot of things that we can't do, and we'll get to that. Women have a tendency to get into their cars after shopping, eating, working, and we just sit there. We do that. I do that too. I sit there. I'm like, let me update my Instagram. I blame social media. Because we sit there and we're like, oh, we got to do this. But maybe it's not social media because this was from freaking 1980 and they still were sitting in their car. We just need to keep the car running, keep it in neutral, run into the store, do your thing, and then get into the car and get the hell out of the parking lot. Don't sit in the car. This says sit there doing their checkbook and making a list. Obviously, no one's doing a checkbook anymore. I have no idea I didn't know how to balance it then. I don't know how to balance it now. How can an imbalanced person balance a checkbook? Let's be real. I just got to get in your car and get the hell out of there. Don't sit and dilly-dally. Okay, ladies, come on. So you got to be aware. You got to sit up straight. You got to look around. You got to get the fuck out of there. Don't do this. The predator will be watching, and this is a perfect opportunity for him to get in the passenger side, put a gun to your head, and tell you where to go. As soon as you get in your car, lock the doors and leave. Lock the freaking doors. A door lock can save your life. A few notes about getting into your car. In a parking lot or parking garage, be aware and look around you. Look into your car, the passenger side door, on the floor, in the back seat. B, if you're parked next to a big van, enter your car from the passenger door. If I'm parked next to a big van, I'm not getting in the car. As good as I see it, that car is not mine anymore. I just gave it to the parking lot. I'd rather give my car away than get into a car that's parked next to a white van. It just says next to a big van, but I imagine a white one because that's just what every documentary shows. Most serial killers attack their victims by pulling them into their vans while women are attempting to get into their cars. God. Do men have to worry about this? Not to make it a sex thing, but it obviously is a gender issue because, I hate to tell you, most of us serial killers and people trying to kill us aren't women. They wouldn't be nearly as rough. It'd be much more of a psychological warfare than it would be a physical one. So you got to look around in the parking garage. If it's next to a van, crawl into your passenger door. God, just the things we have to do to get home. Look at the car parked on the driver's side of your vehicle and the passenger side. If a male's sitting alone in the nearest car, you may want to walk back into the mall or work and get a bodyguard or policeman back out. It's always better to be safe than sorry. Better paranoid than dead. That's probably why so many women are paranoid, because we don't want to be dead. So we choose paranoia over death. Always take the elevator instead of the stairs. Stairwells are horrible places to be alone. They sure are. Here's all the horrible places for women. A parking lot, your car next to a van, your car parked next to two cars, your car in the middle of two cars, a hallway, a stairwell, an alley, a street, the daytime, when you're breathing, when you're not breathing, daytime, nighttime, at your house, outside of your house. Basically everywhere is unsafe for a woman. Do not get into an elevator if there's a weirdo already on there. When have you gotten into an elevator and there isn't a weirdo? There's always a weirdo on the elevator. That's what elevators are filled with. I mean, show me a place, I'll show you a weirdo. Okay? Do not stand back in the corners of the elevator. Be near the front by the door. Get ready to get off or on. I had never thought about this one because usually I go right to the corner. But I guess you can get pinned in the corner. You know, you can get pinned. But are people that dumb to pin someone? And I'm going for the balls. I'm going for a nut punt with my knee. You better believe. I'm going to fight to the death. If you get in an elevator on the 25th floor and the boogeyman gets on the 22nd, get off when he gets on. See, now's not the time for jokes, Pat. Now's not the time for jokes because you just scared me out of going to Target. You scared me out of going to my gynecologist and you scared me out of leaving my house. So let's not start cracking jokes now. The time for joking is past, Pat. I'm terrified. This was insane. Police only make 4 out of 10 shots when they are in the range of 3 to 9 feet. This is due to stress. So if the predator has a gun and you're not under his control, always run. I'm going to try and run. We got to run in that zigzag, right? We got to remember all of this. The predator will only hit you, a running target, 4 in 100 times. And even then, it most likely will not be a vital organ. Okay, well, here's hoping, Pat. Most likely? I mean, if that's your only other option, I guess you're just, well, it's either death or most likely. I guess I could get hit in the pancreas and be okay. As women, we are always trying to be sympathetic. Oh, is Pat a woman? I gotta find this out. Here I am yelling at a guy. As women, we're always trying to be sympathetic. Stop it. This is how you get raped or killed. Finally, a reason for me to be a bitch. Oh, sympathy? I'm sorry. I can't be sympathetic. I'm trying to survive. So if you come at me looking for sympathy, not today. Not me, not now, not never. I'm trying to live. So I'm gonna be a bitch. See ya. Right here, it says I can be a bitch. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I might wreck yourself. Okay? Because it turns out that I can. And I have a right. I have a right to. I'm going to exercise my right to be a bitch. You better believe it. Coming through. Maybe that's why I've been doing it for so long. Ted Bundy, the serial killer, was a good-looking, well-educated man who always played the sympathies of an unsuspecting woman. He walked with a cane or a limp and often asked for help into his vehicle or with his vehicle, which is when he would abduct his next victim. You're not getting my help. Because it turns out I'm a bitch and I'm going to be a bitch. I'm going to be a bitch to the day I die. Because right here it says I can. Otherwise, Ted Bundy's going to get me. And I'm not looking to be a Ted Bundy victim. Not me. Not looking to get comfortable with Ted Bundy. Okay? Pat Malone told us a story of his daughter who came out of the mall. This is crazy. If this is true, this is crazy. Who was walking to her car when she noticed two older ladies in front of her. She saw a police car coming towards her with cops who said hello. She also noticed that all 8 handicap spots in the area were empty. All 3 of these details are vital. As she neared her car, she saw a man a few rows over calling for her help. He wanted her to close his passenger side door. He was sitting in the driver's side and said he was handicapped. He continued calling until she turned and head back to the mall. Then he began cursing at her. In the meantime, she wondered, why didn't he ask the 2 older ladies or the police officer for help? And why was he not parked in any of the empty handicapped spots? As she got back to the mall, 2 of her friends were exiting as she got there. And she told them the story and turned back. And the man was getting out of the back seat and into the front. And the car sped away. See, there's a lot of traps. They're out here trying to trap us. Like one of those spiders from underneath the ground. They're just trying to come up and snatch us into their crazy little world and treat us like some sort of science experiment that they play with and diddle with in their basement. No, thank you. I just want to go to bed. I want to get a full night's sleep. I want to be able to walk without getting punched in the back of my head. This is why I wanted to read this, because everything that's going on out here, the streets are alive. Tips on saving your life if you get into a violent situation. React immediately. If he abducts you in a parking lot and is taking you to an abandoned area, don't let him get you to that area. Well, what if he's taking me there? What am I going to do? Power of persuasion? Hey, there's a new bagel shop that opened up down the street. You want to go there instead? You better believe I'm going to try and tap into his hunger. Everyone's hungry. Even serial killers have to eat. That would be my tactic. Like, hey, look, I know you want to murder me and probably rape me. Hopefully after. I don't know what you're into, but do you want to get pizza first? I'm hungry. I'm sure you definitely need some sustenance. You definitely need some energy for whatever you're about to do to me. So let me buy you dinner. Let me take you to a diner. That would be my attempt. I'm going to physically fight. Sure. I think that that's a good idea, but I also think psychological warfare goes a long way. And they always say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that must be true for serial killers as well. I don't know why they would be, you know, impervious to that. If you're driving, react immediately to the situation. Crash your car while it's still going. And if he's driving, find the right time to stick your fingers in his eyes. So now I have to do surgery? Not only do I have to be like a general of mental warfare, now I have to be an eye surgeon? It's requiring and asking a lot of a woman. He must watch the road, so choose an unsuspecting time and gouge him. It's your only defense. While he is in shock, get out. It sounds gross, but the alternative is your fault if you do not act. Well, now I'm being shamed for not gouging this guy's eyes out. But you know what? If you get the opportunity to gouge someone's eyes out, gouge them out. If they deserve it, if they're trying to kill you. That's, what a great way to just get out all of your anger and your pent up aggression and sadness and just use it in that moment of survival. Just, I want to gouge your eyes out. No more eyes for you. Resist. Don't go along with him. Run. Don't ever give up. Always keep your distance when you're walking past strangers in the streets or dark areas. I do that. And you know what? I'm done saying hi and smiling to strangers. When guys do that, like in this, not all men are terrible, but a lot of you are. That's why there's sheets for women to learn how to stay safe. And, you know, women are getting punched in the back of their head in the canals and in New York City. That's happening as well. Not all men are bad, but there's nothing wrong with wanting to survive in the streets. You don't have to be a bitch, but you also can be a bitch now because sympathy is a weakness. Sympathy is the thing that's going to get you murdered. Get a cell phone. This is where it says there are packages for $19.95 a month that allow you to program 911 as in the dialing out program. Breakdowns. Every car, make every effort to avoid this, but always keep your car in working order. I mean, do I need to call Honda and be like, hey, I'm trying to avoid rape and murder this year. Can you tell me any time that my car may break down? Can you give me a list of the possible things that can happen most frequently? Because I'm just trying to stay alive. And also, I've lost all my sympathy in the effort and attempt to stay alive. So I could care less what's going on in your life. But could you just tell me if the carburetor is good? Because I'm a surgeon and I am a psychiatrist and a psychological warrior, but I'm also not a mechanic. So if you could just help me a little bit because I'm exhausted and I just am trying to get to work in my pedicure appointment. If it's noon on a busy day, you may want to put your hazards on and walk to safety. If it's 2 a.m., put your car in a park, put on your warm clothes and walk to a lit area. You're a perfect target if you're sitting in your car that's broken down. Predators search the highways for easy targets like you. Oh my God. I've never had my car break down, luckily, like that. I should probably say never, never say never. But I can't imagine that I'd want to leave the car. That would be really hard. Now I understand that psychology, because when you watch movies and the girl leaves the car, you're like, what are you doing? That's the one safe place. But according to Pat Malone, she says, get the hell out of the car. If you're on a desolate road, walk away from the car in your warm clothes to some bushes or some area away from your vehicle. It will be cold and uncomfortable, but you do not want to stay in your car. There are no psycho boogeymen waiting in the bushes. Who knew you were going to break down there and then? I beg to differ. Have you watched Wrong Turn? Have you seen any Sasquatch movie? There's shit all over the highway. There's even like spooky spirit wolves that show up and then disappear and cause car crashes. What about those women in nightgowns? They're all up and down the highway. It's a pandemic. We can't avoid it. Physical defenses that we can use against a violent predator. The eyes, we heard. We got to gouge out the eyes. It's the most vulnerable part of their body. Poke them here and hard. It may be your only window of opportunity. Gah, gah. Gouge them out. The neck, also a vulnerable spot, but you must know where to grip and have the strength to cut off his breath. This makes me want to take a self-defense course. Just go at him like a cat. The last part is the knees. The last part, what about the balls? I'm sorry to be vulgar, but I'm going for the nuts. Like straight up, I'm going for the nuts. I'm going for the balls, the eyeballs and the nut balls. You better believe it. I'm coming at all your balls. The knee, I wouldn't even think about the knee. The knee was even on my top 10. Eyes, neck, and knee? Everyone's knees are vulnerable. A swift kick here will take anyone down. Yeah, I guess your knees are vulnerable, but I would pick the shin over the knee, wouldn't you? I would think the shin would be a more vulnerable spot. I know my shin, whenever, it could be like a gentle brush up against a chair on my shin, and I'm out. I'm down for the count for a week. I would be such an easy predator to take out. A cautionary note about these things. If you do not do these things right the first time, you are in trouble because it will only anger the individual and that anger will be taken out on you. I'm not saying don't attempt them. It may be your only hope, but be forceful when you do. That's what I'm saying. If you should ever get yourself into this situation, this is your opportunity to unleash all of the anger, all of the sadness, all of the things on whoever's trying to take you out. Do not go lightly into that darkness. Unleash the beast. If you're walking alone in the dark, which you shouldn't be, enough with the shame, Pat. Okay, we get it. Some of us don't have the luxury of shouldn't bees. We have to. And you find someone following or chasing you, scream fire and not help. People don't want to get involved when people yell help. But fire draws attention because people are nosy. You know, there's something to that. Because I've heard help a bunch of times in Venice and I haven't really done anything. But mainly because the person screaming help looks like someone I would need help from. So I'm not trying to get involved. I got involved once and I called the cops and they actually showed up. There was a person who looked rather threadbare and like they had lived on the street their entire life screaming for help. And I called the cops and they couldn't find them. That person just evaporated into thin air. But you're supposed to scream fire. Yeah, because you got to scream something that's going to affect the other person. You don't want to give someone else a task. You want to make them feel threatened themselves. So I'm going to yell, watch out. Or I'm just going to learn everyone's names in the neighborhood and scream everyone's personal name. But fire is going to get someone's attention because no one wants to burn. No one wants to help you and no one wants to burn. So you got to yell fire. I get it. Let's see. Alone in the dark. So you got to scream fire. You got to run. Find an obstacle such as a parked car and run around it. Ring around the rosy. It may sound silly, but over the years, five women have told Pat Malone that this saved their lives. Well, Patty, ring around the rosy sounds like an easy game, but, you know, I'm a clumsy bitch. I probably will trip over my own feet and hit my head on the car and knock myself out. And boom, this guy's got a fast pass to my bung. Your last hope is getting under the car. Once you're under there, there are tons of things to hold on to, and he will not be able to get you out, and he won't come under for you, most likely. This most likely is really a loophole in all of this survival tippage. Usually they give up by this point. The catch here is you must practice getting under the car. You must have a plan because he will have one. See, ladies, you got to make an escape plan. What's your escape route? We should have like a survival tip obstacle course and ring around the rosy. We've got some hurdles that are on fire while we're yelling fire. We've got tigers that are chasing us. We've got actual assailants coming at us. I might have to set this up for women. I think that would be a lot of fun. You must have a plan because he will. Know if you will be on your back, front side, or back of the car. It must be practiced. So this is in reference to getting under the car. So anybody this weekend, if you have a couple minutes, practice getting under your car. If you can, let me know how it goes. JessieMapeLusoComedy@gmail.com. This is the last little bit. Never let yourself or anyone know. Never let yourself or anyone that you know be closer in any type of business, bar, store, restaurant, or gas station. Pat knew a girl, Danielle, who was a girl that died from being shot point blank by some kids while she was closing at the local gas station. He talked with her the night before she died and asked her if it was ever scary for her to close alone. She said yes, but I'll be all right, Pat. I'll be all right. And she wasn't. Our world is not safe as we pretend it is. And living in our fantasy worlds will get us in trouble sooner or later. Jeez, what happened to Pat is what I want to know. Pat Malone said again and again that the women who die every minute from violent crimes expected to go to bed at night and get up tomorrow. No one expects it, but we must be prepared and aware so that we can have a plan, be prepared to act, and act hard. Oh my God. It reminds me of Get Hard with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell. I should create a get hard survival obstacle course for women. I'm laughing, but this is really inspirational. I would encourage you to pass this on to all women, not just your friends and family, but everybody. We all need to hear it. And that's why I wanted you guys to hear it. I felt like we all needed to hear it. I wanted to read it with you and for you. And it might be silly, but it's not. It really isn't. That's the unfortunate truth of being a woman. Sometimes the world just is out there to eat us and we have to learn how to bite back. And I will be gouging eyes out and I will be going for the neck and your balls. I don't know about your knees. If I get to your knees, I'm probably already done. So hopefully I can stop at the balls. And hope you guys enjoyed this podcast and survive out there. Actually, no, thrive. Let's get hard together. ¶¶